As you know, we have been studying the 10 plagues. And I hope you've found them interesting. I've certainly found them interesting and given me a lot of insight into some of the reasons that God chose the particular plagues that He chose. And we have looked at some of the purposes, some of the reasons behind the plagues. And I'd like to, as kind of an introduction tonight, to turn to Exodus chapter 18 and look at a few verses there. Exodus chapter 18. And let's begin with the first verse, and then we'll skip down to verse 10. Exodus 18, verse 1. And Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now we skip down to verse 10. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, He was above them." And in each of these plagues that we've seen, it has been an insult, an affront, an attack upon different individual Egyptian deities. And that's certainly going to be the case tonight when we look at the 6th, 7th, and 8th plague and look at the particular Egyptian gods that these plagues were aimed at, because they were all aimed at specific ones. And like we saw in Exodus chapter 18, the purpose was to show that Jehovah was the true God. In other words, He was the one that had the real power. He was the real God. These other so-called gods were false gods. They didn't have power. They didn't have the authority that Jehovah did. So we're going to look tonight, begin looking at the sixth plague, which is found in verse 9. Exodus chapter 9, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Exodus chapter 9, we'll read verses 8 through 12, the sixth plague. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven. And they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. The first thing that kind of gets our attention in this plague is that this time Moses does it himself. In most of the plagues before this, Aaron has done it. But now, in this one, we see Moses taking more of a leadership type position. And he's the one that's going to take these ashes or soot and throw it up in the air. And where it lands, essentially, it's going to come down and cause boils on both people and animals. And notice, these boils were so painful that the magicians couldn't even stand. In other words, it was on the bottom of their feet, and it was so painful they couldn't even stand. So these were very painful, irritating boils that were on these Egyptians. And it's interesting, many years later, God warns Israel about the painful results of not obeying Him. Let's go to Deuteronomy for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And notice some similarities. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we'll begin in verse 25. This is in a section where God tells the Israelites what kind of curses will come upon them if they disobey. Beginning in verse 25 of Deuteronomy 28. "The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart, and you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in darkness. You shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Those are just some of the curses that God said would come upon the Israelites if they disobeyed. And notice the boils of Egypt. So painful you could not even stand on them. Well, what gods of Egypt did this have to do with? What kind of an attack was it? Certainly it was an attack against Imhotep. He was the god of medicine. In other words, he was the one they would call on for medicine that would heal them. Well, apparently he wasn't around for them because he wasn't able to heal them of the boils. Another one would be Serapis, the god of healing. Well, he wasn't able to heal them either. A lot of the gods of the Egyptian pantheon, there was a lot of crossover. In other words, there were gods and goddesses for healing and gods and goddesses for crops and all this type of thing. Another couple of them, Sekhmet and Haki, I don't know how that's pronounced. All of these had something to do with healing and medicine, and they were supposed to be able to heal the Egyptians of whatever came along. But these boils were so bad that they could do nothing. There was no power. So the Egyptians saw that their gods, the gods of medicine and healing and so forth, had no power against Jehovah. They were powerless. And again, one of the main reasons for the plagues, not the only reason, but one of the main ones, was to show that Jehovah was the true God. And these Egyptian deities that they worshipped had no real power. And certainly the Egyptians would remember this one, the painful boils that they had on them. The seventh plague begins in verse 13. And it's a rather lengthy reading. The seventh plague. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.'" Now notice, there's a purpose right there for all that's happening. One of the purposes was that God would be able to show his power, and that his name would be declared in all the earth. He goes on and says, "As yet you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt.' And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail." We'll stop there for a moment. We see already that God has a purpose for Moses and he had a purpose for Pharaoh. He was using both of them to show his power, to show that he was the only true God. Now, this was a very unusual plague because Egypt rarely would ever have thunder, lightning, and hail. That was a very, very rare occurrence. So that's one thing that the people would notice at the very beginning is how rare this was. And this must have been the time of the year when they had crops in the field. And it seems some references said this definitely indicated it was either in January or early February. Now these plagues, they weren't just like one right after the other. I mean, when you look at the timeline, they took several months before they all played out, when you look at all 10 of them. So sometime in the early part of the year, this plague came. This was an insult against several Egyptian deities too. The one called Nut, I don't know how that's pronounced. She was the goddess of the sky. And whenever she was depicted in Egyptian figures, she was depicted as she would have her back arched because she was supposed to protect crops from any type of weather. So she was the one that was supposed to protect crops. Well, notice she wasn't able to do that. So this was an insult against her. It was an insult against Shu, the wind god, against Tefnu, the god of moisture. None of those so-called Egyptian gods were able to stop what God was doing. They had no power. God was the only one that had real power. He was able one to send thunder and lightning and hail and so forth. None of those Egyptian deities had any power whatsoever. So the Egyptians, including Pharaoh, saw this plague, and of course they knew it was unusual because it was so rare to see those things. They knew something was up. Now let's see what happens to Pharaoh, beginning in verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses, and Aaron said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I'll let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. His response is certainly different than before. Notice he says, this time I have sinned. He had sinned on every single one of the plagues before that, but he admitted that he did. Now he says, on this one I've sinned. He admits he's done wrong, even though he had done all of that before. And notice in verse 29 that it says, there'll be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. He wants to show, God does through Moses, that these Pharaoh and all the other Egyptian gods and deities we've talked about, it is not theirs. It's His and His alone. Everything in the earth is God's. It's not the Egyptians. In Psalm 24, verse 1, this is a rather familiar one that stresses God's ownership of the world. This is one of David's Psalms. Notice what he says in verse 1 of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Everything is God's. The Egyptians, they don't own anything. Those gods don't own anything. This is carried on into the New Testament. Romans chapter 9. Notice verse 17. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the Scripture says to the Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." Again, God is showing His power and that He owns the world. He owns the world. He owns everything in it. None of it is owned in any way by the people or by any of these Egyptian gods. So this plague of hail struck right at the heart of the Egyptians. Struck right at the heart. Because it destroyed their crops. It destroyed their food. And in particular, of course, it says it destroyed the flax and the barley. Now the wheat and the spelt, they weren't struck because they, again, were going to come up later. But the flax and the barley were struck down. They were destroyed. And then the eighth plague, the last one we're going to look at tonight, is in chapter 10. Beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. And they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go, serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." Then he said to them, "The Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locust. Then they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locust. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth. So the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locust away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. It is fascinating to read accounts about locusts. You just get any type of history book, especially in that part of the world, and read it, you'll read about locusts coming and the utter destruction they can bring. It was astonishing how much they can eat in practically no time. I mean, they can destroy a whole field in a matter of minutes. And so what was left, he says, from the hail then was eaten by these locusts. This plague was an attack again on several different Egyptian deities. There was a locust-headed god, Sinahim, and I'm sure that's not even close to how it's pronounced, but that's how he was depicted, as having the head of a locust. There was Nepri, the god of grain. Thermuthis, the goddess of fertility and harvest. Seth, who was also a god of crops. And Ermutel, another goddess of crops. So this one was an attack on a lot of different Egyptian gods and goddesses. None of them could protect the crops from the locust because they weren't real gods. And the point, again, of so many of these plagues was to get the people to see that they were not real gods, and Jehovah was the only one that was a real God. He's the one that brought the plagues. He's the one that stopped them. When he told Moses to stop the plague stopped. Just like that. This plague, notice, also was a little different in that it was also to remind Israel of who Jehovah was. Go back to verse 2 of chapter 10. Talking about these signs, these plagues, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I've done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. So these were also to remind the Israelites of who the real God was. In Psalm 78, notice these words. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 5. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." These plagues, how devastating they were, should be a reminder that when God judges, he does a thorough job of it. He doesn't halfway do it. The boils, the locusts, the hail. After that last plague, said there wasn't a green thing left. Can you imagine what that looked like? Not a green thing left. All the herbs, the plants, trees, gone. Their leaves were just gone. How devastating that would have to be for them. Like the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These Egyptians should have realized that. Now I want to end by saying that that's the same God that we serve. You know, God hasn't changed. Jesus himself said, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." His nature hasn't changed. His characteristics hasn't changed. He is exactly the same God. Yes, he's a God of mercy. He's a God of justice. And the Bible is very explicit that we will be judged someday. Thankfully, we have chances, opportunities to make things right while we're in this life. He didn't have to give us those opportunities, but he does. He gives us opportunities to make things right, to repent. And how great that is. Tonight, if you need to do that very thing, make things right, then we want to encourage you to do that as Travis leads us in this song. Let us stand, please.